Our first reading is from Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 11. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on earth. And if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. Our second reading is from Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So ends our readings.
Please stand if you're able for reading the gospel. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered there around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather together and to hear from you as your people. Let us not only hear, but to listen, Lord, and more importantly, not just listen, but do, as your words inspire us to go out there and live out our faith as an example to others. Amen. So the theme today, listening. We've done watching last time. Today, a little bit on listening. As I've mentioned before, Jill taught me that hearing is not the same as listening. No, it's very true. You can hear something. Hearing is a passive thing, right? There's a pressure fluctuation in the air. It makes your way to your ear, and it sets in motion a chain of events. It starts your eardrum vibrating, which moves the hammer, the anvil, the stirrup, the cochlear, the thing that creates the nerve impulse, and again, an electrical impulse basically sent to the brain that we perceive as a sound, like the snapping of a finger. You hear that? Imagine all the things that are happening there. When I snap them together, it disturbs the air molecules, it's bumping in the next one, bumping in the next one, bump, finally reach your ear, and then that happens. That's crazy. So hearing is something that we should appreciate and give thanks for. my hearing as it starts to decline a little bit more and more. Yeah, sometimes I don't hear real well. But listening is something we have more control over. Listening is active. Hearing is, again, a passive thing. It's happening. But we're not doing it. Listening is something you have to do. You have to pay attention. You have to receive the information, process it, think about it, and then respond if appropriate, or, you know, file away for later and hopefully not lose it. You know, I've got files back here that, I don't know, if I were to dust off the cobwebs, I'd find all kinds of stuff. You know, who knows what all's back there. Things that I've forgotten and lost. But yeah, the listening is something that requires effort. And you can only do it well for so long. I don't mean those of you that are still students sitting in sociology class or something, by the end of the 50 minutes, you're daydreaming and your mind's going this way or that way. It's not that way in chemistry class, right? Because everybody's paying attention the whole time all the way to the end, all right? But, and during the sermons, of course, right? Now, our minds do wander because listening requires effort. We tire out that part of our brain, and you have to remain focused somehow if you're sitting through long periods of something. Alrighty? But there's positive things that'll happen if we listen to God. If we listen to Him, because He's speaking. Are we listening? In this time of Advent, we are listening for certain signs, among them what we're going to hear in Thessalonians today. We're watching, of course, we're waiting, and we're preparing. Those are our four themes. And again, overall, we're living with our bags packed, ready to go at any time. Second coming is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, well, then Jesus is coming for you, and that's going to happen. Either way, you're going to be with Him, okay? And you have to be prepared, because we could go at any time. He could come at any time, or we could go to meet Him at any time. So living with your bags packed and ready to go. Alrighty, Deuteronomy today. These Old Testament books, I'm working my way through the Old Testament again in the mornings. And I've read the New Testament a whole lot more times than I have the Old, I'll admit it. But there's so much in here as well. And the promises that we get in Deuteronomy 28. And again, God is good on His promises. He'll never renege on His promises. He is good on them. This is an if-then. Sort of like in computer programming, if-then. If it's this, we go down that road. If not, we go down that road. There's two choices here, follow God or don't. The first verses, 1 through 14 here, talk about the wonderful blessings that will take place, that will happen, that are guaranteed if you follow God. The remainder of the chapter, 15 through it goes all the way through 68, that's even more, talks about what happens if you don't follow God. Alrighty? So I'd encourage you to read all of Deuteronomy 28, maybe this afternoon or tomorrow morning, when you have time. Just sit down, spend a little time with God, open up that up, and look at those promises. They're wonderful. We're going to hit a few of them today. But the first section says blessings for obedience. Yes, these are the positive things. The second part, which is even longer, curses for disobedience. And if you read it, it gets into detail, and it describes a type of life that we do not want to live. Maybe you've experienced that, where you've lived part of your life away from God, and you've experienced things that you don't want to relive again. You don't want to go there again, and you don't have to. You don't have to. Because if you've given yourself to Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, and you can live now in the blessings by accepting Him. So it starts out in chapter 28, verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands. All right, it's an if. We have a choice. We can follow Him or not. And this is just not for a whole life. This might be for every day or every hour or every minute we're going to make a choice. Am I going to follow Him in this situation or not? Ideally, we will follow Him in everything we do, right? Yeah, absolutely. Fully obey the Lord and carefully follow all His commands. And trust in Him, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight, as it says in Proverbs. But there's some adverbs here. It's not just if you obey the Lord and follow all His commands. It says if you fully obey the Lord. Obey Him how? Fully, completely. As humans, that's tough for us because we want to do our own thing. We're selfish. Okay, I'd rather go do this right now than help out my neighbor with that, you know. But fully obey Him. Not just lip service. Okay, God, yeah, I believe in you, and I'm going to do what you say, right? No, do it, right? It's that part in James, right? Do not merely listen to the word, but be a doer of the word, right? To actively do it, to live it out. Anybody can talk it, anybody can say it, but are we living it out? Does our faith show in our daily life? By how we relate to people, by the example that we set, by the joy that we show? It should. It should. It's not something we are, it's something we do. And yeah, we are Christians, but we also do the Christian thing in response out of thanks to God for what he has given us, this indescribable gift, right? So fully obey the Lord and carefully follow all of his commands. Carefully. To do it carefully, you have to stop and consider a little bit. You don't just blindly follow. Although if I'm going to blindly follow something, it's be God, right? You're not going to blindly follow the media and everything they tell you, right? Just accept, oh, okay. Yeah, be one of the sheep out there, right? Don't think for yourselves. It's just easier. Just accept what they tell you about different lifestyles, about different ways of life, about what's acceptable and what's not. Okay, you know, no. Think for yourselves and read the word, the truth. Live by that, right? Don't be sheep. Alrighty, don't be a part of, I call them the mindless masses many times, people that just blindly accept everything they're told. No, question what you are told. And follow what God tells you. All right, so if you do these things and follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Set us high above all the other nations. Us as individuals above nations? Or is it us as a people? Is he speaking to the whole people of Israel here, the whole nation of Israel? And I would suggest that this applies to both. That as an individual, he'll set you high, but also as a people, as his people, he'll set you high. And then I look at the nation of Israel, and I look at our nation. Okay, he's protecting Israel right now as we speak. He's got a covenant promise with Israel. He is going to stand by it. No matter if they stray, and look all through the Old Testament, under all the kings, Israel strayed many times. Was God faithful? Yes. They found their way back. Then they stray again. Eventually, they'd find their way back for a short period of time. Then they stray again for a long period of time, it seems like. But he's faithful throughout. So if a nation will follow him, he'll be faithful to them as well. This nation will live under the blessings of the Lord if we follow him. And when you look at our nation today, you wonder, how well are we following him? All right, so make your voices heard. Make your voices heard. We want this nation to follow the Lord. It's going to be like the people of Israel in the Old Testament. When they're following him, things are going great. When they're going his way, when they diverge, though, you're going off the path. You're going off the path of his protection. You're going off the path of his blessing. What lies outside the blessings? Well, the second part of this chapter, the curses. So pray for our nation. We as God's people, then, we could look at that collectively, too, as the body of Christ, as believers. Nations aside now, just as believers, if we're following him, we're going to be blessed too, and also as individuals. So let us seek those blessings. Let us fully obey the Lord and carefully follow all his commands. Good things will happen. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, this is written thousands of years ago by Moses. And that word accompany is great in there. It's not a one-time deal where you're going to be blessed. No, this blessing is going to walk with you. It's going to accompany you as you go throughout life. This blessing is with you. That's great. That's wonderful. That blessing goes with you no matter where you go, as long as you're staying on that path. That blessing is there by your side. It is accompanying you. I love that phrase. It'll accompany you. Wow. Okay, thousands of years later, this is thinking, wow, this guy is a good writer. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country, no matter where you go. Because no matter where you go, God is there, right? And the blessings, again, are accompanying you. They are by your side. Alrighty? The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Your children, right? The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You're going to have a type of prosperity there. Not just physical, but spiritual. Because there's going to be droughts. There's going to be dry seasons where the crops don't come as they should. It's going to happen. But God's going to be faithful through it, and he's going to get you through it. He doesn't always remove that obstacle out of your path, but he will help you navigate it. He'll help you get through it. He will accompany you, and his blessings will accompany you through it. And that's what happens here. Spiritually, the same way as physically, there's going to be dry seasons. There's going to be tough times. Remain faithful. Remain steadfast. Trust in him. Again, sometimes you feel closer to God. Sometimes you feel farther away. It's not God that moved. It's us that moved, right? Because he is steadfast. He does not change. Your basking, your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out at all times. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. This next part, they'll come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be disorganized. You can overcome an enemy. You can overpower them. They could retreat back to where they came from. But that's not the case here. They're being scattered in seven different directions. They can't even reorganize to come against you again. So yeah, God's blessing on you. All these wonderful things happen. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. Speaking to Israel here, and I would say to all of us, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Again, actively walking in his ways, not just passively hearing, but listening, and then better yet, doing, walking in his ways. So our lives should be defined by that. As people look at us, they should recognize us as Christians. We're nice to others. We're loving others. We're being there for others. Not for ourselves all the time, it's for others, as Jesus did. It was never about him. It was always about others. He's serving others. He's healing others. He's uplifting others. Neglecting himself, you know, not a place to live, not guaranteed food to eat, just wandering. But it was always about others. And what a wonderful example. So if we do this, we're going to have enough. He'll bless you with enough. Because sometimes having too much is not a blessing. People think, okay, if I do all this, I can get even more. I can be like glitzy rich or something, right? And I would submit to you that being glitzy rich is probably not all it's cracked up to be. You've seen these people that have achieved fame through maybe some God-given talent of singing or something like that, or through shooting a basketball or something. They've got these talents, and they've achieved fame and riches. And what ultimately happens to a lot of them? Or someone that wins the lottery, they didn't earn it, it was just sort of given to them. Yeah, it's not always a good thing. But to have enough, to be content. I've never been glitzy rich. I don't seek to be. But we've always had enough. Even in the tough times, we've had enough. Food in the freezer, a little money in savings, we got enough. And a God who walks with us. His blessings accompany us. Having enough, being content, that's a great thing. I think God, out of his love, doesn't give us too much, because then human nature tends to take over, right? And bad things would happen. So listening to God is important. And if we listen to him, we can live in these blessings. But during Advent, we're looking at the second coming here, the coming of Christ. We're looking at the first and the second, actually. We're looking at the first as we prepare for Christmas. Well, we're also looking ahead to the second coming, when he's going to come back and set all things right. Hallelujah. Okay, can't wait. But that will be accompanied by audible signs, as we heard here. It's going to happen. Alrighty. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Coming down from heaven, like we read in Acts 1 last week, we're... the apostles were gathered 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus ascended into heaven. All of a sudden, these two angels appear right among them. Where'd they come from? These guys in white. And they said, do not fear. The Lord will come back in the same way you have seen him leave. Paraphrasing there, of course. That he ascended on the clouds. He's going to come back on the clouds. It's going to be when it does happen. Who knows when? Day or night, there's going to be, however, some signs here. Obviously, a loud command. The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of call of God. So you could be sleeping at 2:13 tomorrow morning and all of a sudden woken up, not by an alarm clock, but by like the ultimate alarm clock. Okay. The voice of the archangel, which is just going to be a roar, I'm sure. It's going to be loud, unmistakable. It's going to be heard over the entire earth. as only God could do. Or the entire earth, half the people in the day, half in the night, some are going to be awake, you know, just going about their job, doing their thing as normal, like as in the days of Noah, we learned the gospel last week. Others will be asleep. Hopefully you're not asleep in our faith when he comes back. But yeah, unmistakable signs. There's no doubt about this. The heavens open. He's coming on a cloud. You hear the trumpet call again. All these things that are going to happen. Again, they're recorded here. They have to happen. They are going to happen. But we're not like the rest of the world, right? A lot of people are going to be surprised by this. We should not be, because we're expecting it. If you're expecting something, it's not a surprise. Surprise party or something like that is when it's unexpected. If you're expecting it, it's not a surprise. Okay, we just know it's going to happen. And we are different than people. As it said in verse 13, brothers, we do not want to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who have died in Christ, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Those two verses are the best ones to share with people who have suffered a loss or are grieving. Or my two favorites, anyway. We do not grieve as the rest of the world, which has no hope. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope. You lose someone dear to you, or else your life is in danger. And it's a scary and a sad thing. But not for us. We're different. We're way different, okay? I mean, in a lot of ways. We're not conformed to the ways of this world. People are going down this path. We're going down the right one, right? Again, we're following God, not these other things. As a result, then, we do not grieve like other people, because we know the truth, that if someone has died in Christ, they're coming back again with him to set in motion this chain of events. So we have this assurance that if someone dies with a faith in Jesus, yeah, that they are in a good place, better than we can imagine. Okay, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, if you're still around when it comes, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in the faith. All right, the Lord himself will come down from heaven. This is the loud command, voice of the archangel, trumpet call of God. And here we go, the dead in Christ will rise first. So those believers that have already gone before, that have died, will rise first. And then after that, we who are still alive, those on earth at the second coming, and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So again, this is going to be a surprise. We don't know the day or the hour. We're not going to be as surprised as other people who totally unexpect this, or do not expect this. But yes, it's going to be a surprise party, and the party part, because who's coming with them? All those that have died in Christ. A lot, some of them you know, the vast majority that you don't. We're talking people that lived in 800 AD in some backwoods part of Germany or something, that were a believer. People that lived in the Mideast, people that lived in Africa 100 years ago, that missionaries had reached, that they are believers. They're going to be accompanying with them. And it's going to be a surprise to us, but not to them, because, hey, Jesus is planning a surprise party, and he's bringing a lot of people. Because the surprise party, you usually have a lot of people waiting, right, hiding, just waiting to spring out and yell surprise. He's coming with all those that have died in Christ. We're going to be, if we're still alive, the ones who are surprised. But also, if we have already passed on, if this happens 300 years from now, who knows when, we get to be there also, because we're part of the ones that are going to jump out and yell surprise, right? We're coming with Christ to surprise those who are still alive. So it's the ultimate surprise party. And then in the surprise party, everybody, there's just, you know, shouts of joy and, you know, hey, good to see you. And then a reunion takes place in a way. And this is going to be a surprise party and a reunion combined. The ultimate surprise party followed by the ultimate reunion. Yeah. And we're either on one side of it or the other, right? We're the surprisers or the surprised. Okay. But it's going to happen. And we get, one way or another, you're a part of it. If you're a believer, one way or another, you're a part of this. Either you're the one getting surprised, or else you're there with Jesus just waiting to yell surprise and to hear the trumpets and things. Yeah. So this is, again, is something to look forward to. This is wonderful as believers again. But if you're not a believer, well, okay, it's not going to be good. we'll focus on the good because we are believers, but it should bother us that other people are not taking this seriously and are not going to be present, and they'll be surprised, but it won't be a happy thing. Alrighty. So it caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You get to like levitate, that'd be pretty cool. I've always dreamt about flying. Okay. And so we will be with the Lord forever. With him forever. What could be better? Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Yeah, encourage each other. Remind each other with these words that, hey, this is going to happen. Stay strong in the faith. Lead others to faith, that they can be a part of this as well. So here's the listening. Here's the hearing. We're listening for this to happen. It's going to happen. We're on it, in on it one way or the other. But what a cool deal. And that's what Advent's all about. It's a season of waiting. And we're waiting for this end of times when everything's going to be set right. All the corruption, all the sin, all the greed, all the lust for power, all that stuff is gone. That doesn't exist in heaven. It's not there. Evil's gone. Temptations to do bad things again, gone. None of that there. Nothing but good. Nothing but love. Nothing but what God allows in. And he's only going to allow good things in. And he's going to allow people in too. Those who have accepted what Jesus has done for us. If we're among that number, it's going to be like the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, let me be in that number, right? Because wonderful things are going to happen. Alrighty. So listening. We also have to listen to God, listen to Jesus, as we heard in the gospel here, because the sheep know his voice. Jesus is at the Feast of Dedication here, or Hanukkah. They're observing the restoration of the temple. It was winter, and, well, winter in Jerusalem is like in the 50s, okay? It's not that bad, all right? So they're walking along Solomon's Colonnade. It's this part on the side of the temple here where there's this big overhang and a roof, so it doesn't matter really the weather. You're in the shade in the summer, and you're protected from snow and, well, rain, and the occasional snow in the winter. And Jesus is teaching there. It's one of the places he really liked to teach. People gather around him. How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. They heard, but they didn't listen. And they didn't recognize his voice, right? His voice as him as God. You do not believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you're one of his sheep, one of his, under his care, his voice should sound familiar to you. You're listening to that voice. You're doing what it says. You're not just hearing it, but you're listening to it. And better than listening, you're doing. The shepherd's voice. There's many other voices out there saying many other things. Some of them can sound pretty convincing. Some of them can tempt us in different ways. That's one thing I pray for our youth, is that they will be able to hear God's voice. Because there's so many other voices speaking to them. There's so many other things calling out to them that seem reasonable. They seem true. No, they're not of God. So be connected with them where you can hear that voice, know that voice. Sort of like I know Jill's voice. We've spent some years together and I can just hear her voice in a crowd. And I take comfort in that voice. That's a familiar voice. That's a good voice. Or you think about the miracles in nature where you watch like March of the Penguins and there's all these penguins returning and somehow in the mass of these thousands and thousands of penguins, the mother penguin and the chick unite. They find the right one. They hear that voice and they know it. It's incredible. So God's voice, listen for it. He's speaking. We can hear it, but are we listening once again? He's speaking in so many different ways. He speaks through other people. Sometimes you're talking to people or you're together in a Bible study, like on Tuesday morning, and someone says something, you go, wow, that was God speaking through that person. You know it. You feel it. It just resonates. It gets confirmed. Through the scriptures, you can hear his voice in here, spending time with him. Again, the more time you spend with someone, the better you get to know them, the better you get to know their voice. So with the scriptures, God's speaking to us there. Sometimes it's that still small voice. Or when you're in that quiet, you're in the silence, and then you just know that it's God. You feel it, you know it, it gets confirmed because it's familiar to you. You know that shepherd's voice. He speaks through dreams. Sometimes people can have prophetic dreams, or you're going to have a dream that's just a reassurance from God. And sometimes dreams can be a warning from God too. But pay attention. Visions, if you're blessed to have those. Yeah. And we've got his voice preloaded into us in the form of our conscience, I would suggest too. When you're about to do something, you just know that it's wrong. We know right from wrong, right? His word is written in our heart. And the Holy Spirit can convict us. And hopefully we back up and don't do that thing or turn back to God because we're starting to stray or something. Get back on track, okay? Get back on track. Follow him. Follow him. He knows what's right. And some people have even heard the audible voice. I've met people that have been driving down the road alone, the radio off or something, then all of a sudden they just hear this voice. And hear the actual voice. And that's pretty cool too. Through angels. He speaks through angels. All through the Bible we see that. Through angels or dreams or visions. There's so many ways that God speaks. And we hear many people speak. But when you hear it and you know that it's from God, yeah, it should just, you should recognize that. And that's what I pray before I preach every time too, that Lord, don't let it be from me, but let it be through me. From him, through me. So hopefully occasionally you're hearing something from God through me. I don't want it to be from me. I'm human. I open myself up that he can speak through me, and I pray that we all do. So as you go throughout your life, listen for his voice. It's there. Listen to his voice. Take it seriously. And do what he says. Amen.